Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Tyler Rowe. And today we are going to continue talking about everything that happened as a result of the 2026 NFL draft. But the twist is that it's not going to be only about the rookies. We've talked about these incoming college players enough. Let's widen the scope a little bit and talk about some of the veteran players who are potentially some risers and fallers for the upcoming fantasy football season. Obviously, when you inject new players into any team situation, it kind of changes the calculus a little bit, and you have to reset some expectations. There are going to be some position rooms that are a lot more busy than they were, you know, just even a month ago. So we're going to talk through some of the biggest names that we have identified as dudes who are gaining value, guys who are maybe losing some value, and fun will ensue from there. But before we get into any of that, of course, Tyler, how you doing? How are you feeling about the way that the NFL landscape is looking now that we've had a chance to kind of sit and evaluate everything?
Things are great, Herms. I got to say, I love rookie season. I love rookie draft season. I love NFL season. But at the end of the day, it's glad to kind of move past it in a way and now kind of like focus on the bigger picture. For so many months, we're just dead set focused on these rookies. It's all we talk about. It's all we're looking at. It's the tape we're grinding. It's what's in the spreadsheets. It's what's in the podcast. But now the draft is over. We've had a chance to react and we can kind of see how that has impacted, how those rookies have impacted the larger picture here. And that's exactly what we'll be doing today. Excited to kind of see the push and the pull, the ebb and the flow of what the rookies have done to these teams, and more specifically, some of these players.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, with some of these rookies, obviously their injection into the whatever offenses they're going to make a huge difference. But some teams, they're kind of like the final key that really unlocks the potential fantasy upside for their quarterbacks, which is, I think, the position would be good to start with first. Leading off, there are a couple teams and a couple players that you have noted in your article that you have on ftnfantasy.com. If people want to go check it out, you do talk about some of the post-draft risers and fallers. And the first couple names that kind of came up here, I think a lot of people will agree with, but I don't want to steal too much of your thunder. You can introduce those yourself, obviously. Who are some of the biggest quarterback risers as a result of the 2026 draft?
I mean, he's been rising pretty steadily since last season, but Tyler Shuck has got to be a name that needs to be on people's radar as a legitimate option at quarterback this year. So obviously he didn't take over the starting job till about, I think, week 9 of last season. But ever since then, he did not look back. Finished as, you know, fantasy's QB 11 from that point on. In fact, he was QB 5 from weeks 12 to 18. So let's say after a couple weeks, he gets settled. That last, let's say, third of the year, QB5 overall. Arrow's already pointing up in that regard. And I think the Saints just took it to the next level. You know, obviously, Chris Olave's there, great wide receiver, great year. They signed Travis Etienne, very good running back. But obviously, the piece here we want to talk about is pairing Olave with, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in the class in Jordan Tyson. You look at all that and put it together with the head coach and Kellen Moore, and I think they're building something dangerous over in New Orleans, and Shuck is the engine running it all. You know, I moved him up 5 spots in Dynasty kind of since the end of last season. That still might prove to be a little bit low. He's definitely one of those guys, even in one QB leagues, I think you can kind of take a flyer on as somebody who has a shot to finish in the top 12.
Yeah, you know, and obviously when you look at teams like the New Orleans Saints, and to your point, how good they were toward the end of the year a little bit for fantasy and stuff, like they were pretty close to doing some interesting stuff. Bringing in Tyson into the fold definitely elevates that floor a little bit, but I guess just, you know, to kind of, I guess, pick your brain on it a little bit more, is your confidence in Shuck at this point so much so that you could legitimately consider him as your only quarterback if you are doing a single quarterback redraft league at some point? Because, you know, as we found out last year, the late round quarterback thing is still a very viable strategy. Is Shuck going to be good enough in your eyes to be that kind of a dude?
I definitely think there's other quarterbacks I will be hoping to get Don't get me wrong. Like, I definitely like Tyler Shuck. He's not going to be my first plan or my number one option that I'm going to be thinking about as a late round quarterback. But if you completely end up ignoring quarterback in your draft and a couple guys that are at the top of your list as far as late round quarterbacks go aren't there, I think he's a fine kind of fallback option, kind of like safe quarterback that you can land on going into the season. Like I said, QB 11 from when he started and when he got settled, QB 5. I don't necessarily think he's going to be QB 5 next year, but I do think he has that kind of low end QB 1 potential just based on the small sample size that we've seen. And then you just add in the fact another year on the team, Travis Etienne, Jordan Tyson in the building. It's just really tough to paint a negative picture about Tyler Shuck.
Oh, very true. And also, there's some low-key rushing ability as well. I remember that being a thing. He would scamper into the end zone every now and then. It'd be really cool if he could maintain that in 2026 and beyond. But he is not the only quarterback that has seen his offense sort of revitalized around him. Who is the next guy on your list that you have as a riser?
You know, begrudgingly here, it's got to be Cam Ward. You know, I was not a very big fan of his going into the year. I don't necessarily think he had a very good year. But he was a top 18 quarterback only just in the second half of the year last season. So not bad for a guy finding his footing on a pretty bad team. If you look at the situation, it's one of the worst situations you could have walked in at as a rookie objective, right? So for me, it's Tennessee Titans, new regime in town. They're doubling down on him, you know, adding Wandale Robinson to free agency. And then the cherry on top here, obviously, is grabbing Carnell Tate with a fourth overall pick. And I talked about, if you've been listening to the podcast at all, how I do like Nicholas Singleton as a running back of the future. Obviously, you know, I think, you know, we're going to see Pollard and Spears this year, but I just think they've added a lot of good weapons around him. They're doubling down. They're continuing to build around him. The offense could turn into being, you know, league average, maybe above average. And I think my ranks have to reflect that. And I got Cam Ward as a bit of a mover. I've moved him three spots since free agency and the draft up.
Well, I mean, he is going to be an interesting guy to watch. And honestly, just as is the entire Titans offense, you know, just kind of thinking about what they have going for them now, and especially after the offseason departure of tight end Chig Okonkwo, one of the names that kind of popped into my head, Gunnar Helm, the tight end that was out of Texas last year. He's probably going to be walking into some more regular full-time opportunity as well. I think it is going to be a much improved offense compared to what we saw last year. And I do really, really like that Robert Saleh was able to convince Brian Daboll to come in and be the offensive coordinator. There should be a lot more functional than anything we had seen in recent seasons from the Titans. And if I was just going to throw in a freebie riser just off of the top of my own head, I have to give an obligatory shout out to our friend Jackson Dart. I can't get over how well the Giants did. And I was really looking at their receiving core and kind of catching up on everything that they kind of have now. Malik Nabers, the drafting of rookie Malachi Fields, one of my favorites from this entire rookie class. But then just looking through, Darnell Mooney brought in on a fairly cheap free agent deal. Calvin Austin coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's like a weirdly deep group of receivers, the more that I look at it, and that's not even including Isaiah Likely at tight end. I think that could be kind of cool. It was a name that we already kind of liked, but it was just something that kind of popped in my head as we're talking about these guys, and it's like, yo, kind of underrated depth at some of these pass catcher spots. But obviously quarterback is not the only position we have to worry about. There are other positions that we have to focus on for fantasy purposes. One of my favorites is the running back position. And you have a name that I feel like, honestly, just has not gotten too much discussion at any point this offseason. But after everything that's gone along, this dude is one of the clearest and most obvious winners.
Yeah, David Montgomery, man. So let's just talk about what's kind of happened and back up a little bit. So he got traded from the Lions. Like, it's very clear the Lions are going to run Gibbs a lot more. And Montgomery's looking for probably at least, you know, 40 to 50% of the snaps on the team at the very minimum. I think he's got that in him. He's still a very good running back. But when stacked up to Gibbs, no, he's not a very good running back. But now he's on a team that needs running back desperately. And you look at what the Texans did in free agency. They added offensive tackle Braden Smith. They added guard Wyatt Teller. And then they also grabbed another guard in Kalen Rutledge in the draft. So they're really addressing the offensive line, which is the biggest issue for the Texans. They have an elite defense, right? We know the Texans got an elite defense. CJ Stroud has showed some promise, but the offensive line has been pretty putrid, and it's tough for quarterback. And I'm not saying Stroud's a world beater, but if he set the table, he's going to succeed. So yeah. I look at the situation here with Montgomery, and, you know, he was safe. He was marked safe. There's multiple players that we can talk about this. There's a running back. It's on a team. Are they going to do anything in free agency in the draft? And they don't. Mark safe. So I look at the situation here. There's really no one behind Montgomery when I'm talking about players in terms of, you know, that can really challenge him. Nick Chubb is gone at this point in time. I'm not really worried about him whatsoever. Don't think he's going to end up coming back there. It's really just Woody Marks at this point in time. And Woody Marks is a fine running back. I don't think Woody Marks is a bad running back. I think Woody Marks is a good running back. I mean, side note, he's a great pass catcher and then throwing passes. So I'm not really sure what they're doing there in the first place. But this could easily see, you know, I'm not saying Montgomery's going to be a bell cow, but Montgomery could easily see 60 to 65% of the snaps with Woody Marks in tow. So for my opinion, it's like, I think Montgomery is just not a sexy name who didn't have a good year last year. That is probably a locked and loaded running back too when you look at the landscape of things.
And, you know, and honestly, just kind of looking at, you know, some of these, you know, backfields and stuff, and also just projecting out in our minds where these guys are going to go in drafts, it's like, it's not going to be that expensive to go after David Montgomery either. I think the value on that is going to be super nice for a guy who is going to be presumably leading a pretty good backfield for a hopefully pretty good offense, getting back to form as we get into next season. And one of the other names that I wanted to throw into the mix here as a running back riser, we have talked about this situation a handful of times on this podcast, but I have to give a shout out to our man, Isaiah Pacheco. I kind of thought that the Detroit Lions were going to add maybe another piece to this backfield to go with Jahmyr Gibbs and, you know, kind of change that pace that way. I didn't think that the fairly inexpensive one-year deal they gave to Pacheco was going to guarantee much of anything, but you look at it, they didn't add any names of consequence. To my knowledge, they didn't really go out and add any notable UDFAs or anything. So it really just is Jahmyr Gibbs and Isaiah Pacheco there. But I guess my big thing is trying to figure out exactly how much work Pacheco could even get behind Gibbs, especially because we look at the end of the season last year in Detroit and Montgomery kind of faded out of the way just because they ended up increasing the workload to Gibbs a lot more. So that is a little bit of a question mark. I'm not entirely sure if Pacheco is in a position to have standalone value or if it's just more in the handcuff territory, but I think we can all kind of safely say he is one of those guys, to borrow your phrase, marked safe from the entire NFL offseason. I thought that was definitely worth throwing out there. Do you have any thoughts on that, or is there another running back that you want to get into before we take our commercial break?
And I would agree with you. I think he's turned himself into at least a very high-end handcuff in fantasy. We know what the Lions' identity is. Maybe the offensive line isn't as, you know, much of a mauler in top five as it used to be. But also, the Lions have arguably the best and easiest schedule going into 2026 season. This, you know, schedule release stuff starting to come out. Like, they've, at least who they're playing, they have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. So they could easily find themselves up a lot. Something, God forbid, something happens to Gibbs. It's a lot of carries for Pacheco. So I agree. I think, you know, I'll kind of bundle it into two here. Two players are risers for me. It's Cam Scadabo and Chase Brown. Very much for the same reason, really just like Mark safe, right? The Giants, a lot of people had Jeremiah Love going there. Didn't end up happening. They also didn't draft any running backs whatsoever. You know, Tyrone Tracy, I think healthy, is still going to take some pass work. But if Cam Scadabo is able to come back and be healthy, I truly believe he can be an RB2 in fantasy. And then Chase Brown, man, this was a really big one for me. Because the Bengals, they really have nothing behind him. Samaje Perine, Taj Brooks, neither one of them are players that I have any concern really taking Chase Brown's time. I feel like every year we're just waiting for like the Bengals to address the running back position to take Chase Brown's role, and it just never happened. So Chase Brown actually moved up to running back 15 for me, and I think he's in Dynasty. And he's just a player that things are looking good here. They added some offensive line help. He's going to be the bell cow going forward. Really love this for Scadabo. Definitely love it for Chase Brown.
Now, Chase Brown's one of those dudes. I think that, you know, people may have gotten a little bit frustrated with him toward the beginning of last season just because the whole Bengals operation was a little bit weird after Joe Burrow got hurt. But by the end, things really improved. And I think that you can tell just by looking at the fact that since he didn't do much around him, they're pretty confident in what they have. So I'm going to be interested to see how this year goes for him, especially as it is the last year on his rookie deal. Something to kind of think about for you dynasty managers out there. We'll see what his long-term future is like, but at least for 2026, that is pretty cool. I guess there's one other really big riser that I wanted to get in there before, just to make sure that I got it on the record. Probably my biggest one, just regardless of position. Romeo Doubs there with the New England Patriots, dude. I mean, I know that there is probably going to be some sort of move sending A.J. Brown to New England from Philadelphia. Otherwise, the Eagles wouldn't have taken Mekhi Lemon. I think that there's a lot that kind of goes hand in hand as far as that goes. But even if that trade does end up happening, Doubs is in a position to be the second pass catcher to Drake May, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. They didn't really add much in the way of pass catchers. That was one of those things that was kind of pegged as a huge need for them this entire offseason. And I guess, I don't remember the exact terms of his contract, but like, they paid Doubs, dude. Like, that was a pretty cool thing. He's only 26 years old. I think there is plenty of room for upside. I don't know exactly how high, but definitely a name that I'm going to be looking forward to targeting. What sort of upside do you think he possibly has, assuming that the depth chart holds in this way, whether it's AJ Brown or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think wide receiver three status is in play. Like, he's definitely shown flashes. What really scared me about him is he just was never able to separate himself from that room in Green Bay. And I do think he finds himself in a much softer room in New England. So the opportunity is certainly there for him. I am a little skeptical. I do think there are some sneaky names on New England, but for me, it's just more of like a wide receiver three kind of like flex situation, but certainly a guy where the Patriots, I thought the Patriots were going to take some kind of pass catching wide receiver. I mean, it didn't end up taking a pass catcher in Eli Raridan, but it's at least from the wide receiver standpoint, I thought they were going to at least try to add something. So we'll see. Maybe they know they're grabbing AJB, so they didn't draft anyone, but I definitely think Doubs is a guy that we at least need to have on our radar as, you know, a flex wide receiver kind of option going forward. I'm not necessarily rushing to the stand and turn my card in to say his name to get him on the squad, but certainly think he's probably in a better situation than in Green Bay when they just rotate those wide receivers.
No, definitely fair. All right, so before we get into our commercial break, just is there any other name that you want to throw out there as a riser? Now is the time.
I mean, quickly, I mean, just it has to do with Doubs leaving and Wicks leaving, but you got to look at the Green Bay Packers, and the issue there is that they've always just rotated wide receivers, and those two are gone. Jaden Reed, I guess if I had to pick a name, would be the one that would be a riser for me. One, I think the big thing here is Christian Watson really can't seem to stay healthy. I think he's good, but like, I'm also very skeptical on like if he's going to play a full season. And Matthew Golden is probably closer to a bust than he is a breakout. And I know Jaden Reed is good, and he just signed a 3-year, $50 million contract. So this is we've always been asking for it, but if Reed can find his way into wide receiver sets, man, I think the sky's the limit here for him.
Not definitely one of the most talented pass catchers that they have on that roster, for sure. A name that I have long really just wanted to see get consistent volume. And with this opportunity ahead of him, seems like that is going to be quite possible. But there is a flip side to this coin as well, folks. For every riser, there is always some sort of faller. So we will get into some of the names who are perhaps losing a little bit of value headed into the 2026 fantasy season on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Hey, everyone. C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at Novig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only will you get to join in on all the Novig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right, unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to novig.us or download the Novig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the Novig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for Novig, America's number one sports prediction market. Welcome back. We are still here talking about some veteran fantasy risers and fallers in the aftermath of the 2026 NFL draft here on the Crossing Routes podcast. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we will now get into the fallers portion. Obviously, there are some situations that get a little bit more complicated for fantasy. Things that are not exactly going to be super easy to parse out when it comes to the future. And we will start with a guy who probably actually has a lot going for him in terms of 2026. But once we get into 2027 a little bit, it could be kind of a weird sort of future. Why don't you get into that first name you have on the list?
Yeah, Matt Stafford as a faller. I mean, it's crazy because we're talking about the league MVP as a faller, but you have to look at what the Rams did. I mean, they're going for the Super Bowl again. Stafford doesn't have many years left. In my opinion, he has more than 1 year left. But even going into this season, when 2025 ended, we weren't 100% sure he was going to come back. So now that he's back, he's the reigning MVP. You'd think with the 13th pick that the Rams try to put something around him or bolster up that defense so they can go for another run, try to get to the Super Bowl, and they go ahead with that 13th pick and take Ty Simpson. I don't think Ty Simpson is a great quarterback. We have talked about it at length on this podcast. And it really just seems like there's something off here. It didn't seem like McVay was on board, even though that's what they're saying now. And more importantly, I think this might cause a little bit of organizational friction. Is the GM on the same page as McVay? How does Stafford feel about this? Are they forcing an early retirement? You don't put a 13th overall pick into a player unless you plan on playing him soon. So I think this could signal a red flag here, and this could be Stafford's last year when, if they wouldn't have taken Ty Simpson, maybe we get two. So that's kind of my take on it. I had to drop him a little bit because when your incumbent or the player that's coming in is, like, if you're an incumbent on the roster and then your replacement enters with that kind of draft capital, man, it's just not looking good there. I like Stafford this season, but after that, why wouldn't it be Ty Simpson's time for better or worse?
No, it is a bit of an odd situation. And, kind of to your point, this would be a great time to just add whatever firepower you can in this limited window. And I think that they did a pretty good job of that, at least using some of that draft pick capital in a trade to go out and acquire cornerback Trent McDuffie from the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's only on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, it's like, yeah, you get your quarterback of the future in the first round, and then your next pick in the second round, a tight end that goes into a room that was already full with guys like Colby Parkinson and Terrence Ferguson, the guy that you drafted on day two in last year's draft. It is a very puzzling approach, and I guess it does kind of make me wonder. I haven't gone through and looked at some of the names that are, veteran pass catchers who are still out on the free agent market, but like it kind of pops into my head, like, is there a name out there, maybe like a Juwan Jennings or something, that they could possibly go and sign them to like a 1 year deal? Maybe there's something like that going on, but like, it is very puzzling. But keeping things in the NFC West, there are a lot of backfields that got a little bit murky, and I think the one that was the most surprising to me was, we talked about it a little bit over the past couple episodes, but Jeremiah Love going to the Arizona Cardinals so high in the draft definitely affected our next name that we're going to get into, a guy that I actually thought was going to have a pretty big role this year.
Yeah, man, I don't know what the Cardinals are doing. I think it might put some butts in some seats in the short term, but they had so many holes on this team. To use a number three overall pick on a running back when you had Connor and Algier already on the roster, and I guess Trey Benson to an extent, it just makes almost zero sense to me. Trey Benson, we just write him off. It's over. But Tyler Algier got a contract here where it seemed like he was at least going to have a, maybe lead a committee here with Connor. And now with Jeremiah Love here, it's like, he's the bell cow. How do you draft a running back number three overall and don't run him out 60, even 70% of the time? You don't. I think Algier is going to be a thorn in Love's side to some extent, kind of how he was with Bijan in Atlanta. But he's got to be one of the biggest followers I had. I had him as, like, you know, I would say like mid-range RB3. Now he's back down to RB45. There's just way too much standing in between Tyler Allgeier and any type of role to make him fantasy relevant. Not even a flex option here, man. So it's an unfortunate drop. I don't know what the Cardinals are doing, but at least Tyler Allgeier got some cash, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He has that going for him. Like, I was hoping that at the very least there might be some sort of way to incorporate him into, like, red zone stuff, because I know that that was a really popular thing that Atlanta liked to do when they got in close. That would have been at least kind of fun. But, you know, again, kind of to your point, that's probably what you would want to use the rookie that you took with the third pick for. So I don't know. That one was still one of the more puzzling things when you consider everything they did this offseason, but even more in that context. Yeah, Allgeier going to be one of those names that's valuable in deeper leagues because injuries happen to backfields all the time. That is the biggest problem that the Cardinals faced last year when all the injuries went down. They were getting down to pulling dudes off the practice squad, but you know, you look at this, maybe they like overcorrected a little bit. Maybe this was just like reacting too far in the other direction based off of what happened in 2025. Kind of weird, not exactly my favorite situation in the world, but I'm with you there. Kind of a bummer that we're not going to see him a little bit more. Who is there another name that you really want to shout out here in this section before I throw out my big faller when it comes to the values?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one might be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going with RJ Harvey here. I think it's an interesting case. I mean, he was RB12 going into the 2025 pre-draft process, but obviously his draft capital upended that idea. You know, people forget he really wasn't the starter out of the gate. If this was J.K. Dobbins' backfield, Harvey only took over when Dobbins went down. And even then, there were some statistics that, you know, would prove he really didn't do that great of a job. To me, Harvey's always profiled as a committee back, more suited for third down work than a true bell cow. And I do truly believe that Jonah Coleman, even though he was added on day three, is a legitimate threat there in the building, especially for the goal line stuff. Coleman is a good runner, and I think he's going to eat into Harvey's touches. I mean, Dobbins is still there. And even if Dobbins moves on, I still think it's a two-man committee. So I think the rank just needs to come down on RJ Harvey and make him more of a fringe RB2 than a locked and loaded one like he was prior.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's a reason why a lot of people were saying for much of the offseason that your chance to sell RJ Harvey in Dynasty, like that clock was ticking, folks. And especially now after this, I mean, you're kind of stuck holding that bag. I'm not really sure what you can move, if anything, for him right now. But do you think that's even worth pursuing at this point? Because, like, honestly, like, I can't even think, like, what's the most that you could reasonably expect to get for him in trade if you tried at this point?
I mean, I've been saying it for a while that if you can get a first for Harvey, you need to take it, right? It sucks because most people who probably drafted Harvey spent a late first on him, but I don't know if you're going to get that now with you know, Jonah Coleman and J.K. Dobbins back in. But there was a point in time when I think you could have sold him for a first. But right now, I think you just got to hold and, you know, pray that one of these other guys get injured, because that's how he's going to become truly fantasy relevant. You know, not to say you can't flex him here and there. I think he could be an okay RB2 even with those guys around, but it's just not exciting to me. I just have never thought he has the skill or the talent to be, you know, a top 15 running back in the league.
Well, definitely a bit of a problem. It became a very busy room very quickly, kind of out of nowhere. And I think that that is very true of the guy that I have identified as my number one faller, just of any of these veteran players. And that's Dallas Goedert, the tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. So for people who don't remember, last year, he averaged basically 4 for 40 every single game. Dallas Goedert did not absolutely kill it in the volume department. He only ended up with 60 catches and a little under 600 receiving yards, but he caught 11 touchdowns. Like, he completely lived off of finding the end zone last year. And that was before the Eagles go out and not only draft Mekhi Lemon, who, again, as we were talking about earlier, we'll see what happens with AJ Brown, is what it is. But either way, they're still very heavily invested in Devontae Smith and whoever that second receiver is going to be. But then they draft Eli Stowers, our favorite tight end from this rookie class, with fairly high draft capital. They only brought back Goddard on a one-year deal anyway, if I remember correctly. He's getting a little bit older. It's not like his spot in Philadelphia was super secure as it is, but they've already addressed his direct competition, his direct replacement for the future, and added another weapon around him. Do you think there's even going to be enough work for Goddard to even be on the fantasy radar in 2026? Because I'm not entirely sure that there is.
I don't think so, man. Here's the thing is, I think everyone's chasing his, or let's put it this way. He finished as the tight end 4 last season. No, prior to that, he had never finished higher than 10. Okay. You know, it's not like he had more targets. It was not his most targeted season last year. The real difference here is we saw him catch 11 touchdowns. Yeah. The years prior was 2, 3, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5. TD variance worked in the way of Dallas Goedert in 2025. I think it's going to come back down to earth. So just saying that alone, he's a faller. And then you add in the fact that they're adding pass catchers and Stowers. If you can get any value for Goddard right now, man, I would be out, because I'm with you. They already have the guy on the roster ready to take over. He's not going to repeat another double-digit touchdown year. He's just a low-end tight end 1 at absolute best. This is just not the direction you want to be looking if you want to have a competitive fantasy football team.
Nah, definitely a little frustrating. But hey, you know what? Shout out Dallas Goedert for making your money and doing your thing. Pretty good career, no matter how you slice it. Just maybe not so much for fantasy this upcoming season. Are there any other pass catchers around the NFL that you would like to shout out as fallers before we get out of here?
I think we at least have to talk about Chris Olave, because I still like Olave and I'll be drafting him. So let me just start off with that. Okay. But I think we just saw the ceiling last season where he finished as a wide receiver 6. The finish came with everyone around him that was hurt. It opened up a massive target share for him to feast on. Now they've added Etienne. More importantly, they've added Jordan Tyson, the best wide receiver in this class. The target competition got much more real. I think Olave is more of a high-end wide receiver 2 than anything. I'd love to see, you know, a great year out of Olave. Happy to see him finish as a wide receiver 6. Just not happening again. So I think the ranks need to, you know, cool down a little bit here with Tyson in town. And I'm moving him down as kind of like a mid-range wide receiver 2, like wide receiver 16-ish range in Dynasty.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, even though from an objective standpoint, he's definitely a faller as far as that goes. But when I kind of think about it and I think about where his preseason ADP has been over the past couple of years and how bullish the public has seemed to be on him, this might be like a weird blessing in disguise, because I remember he would be routinely picked toward the earlier middle-ish parts of second rounds and stuff as a wide receiver, like 11 or 12 in ADP, just because the argument would always be, well, he's by far the alpha in this offense. Everything's going to be going for him. He's going to have this volume. But by bringing Tyson into the fold, I think it really just kind of balances out and solidifies expectations appropriately in a way that I think it will pay bigger dividends for his relative ADP value for fantasy purposes in the grand scheme of things. I don't know. Is that a weird way of thinking about it? Am I looking into it too much, or is there maybe something there?
I think you're on it, Herms. Like, I don't want to add too much here, but I love the way you're thinking about it. I think it's important to kind of take a step back and, you know, shift. I guess I don't have too much to add, man. I think I like the way you're thinking about it. I'll leave it at that.
Hell yeah, my dude. What? Unless you've got another name that you want to shout out, I guess we're pretty good to get out of here. Feeling good?
Yep. Nothing too crazy, man. We can ride.
Absolutely. And we will be back next week for another episode talking about some stuff for fantasy football here on the Crossing Routes podcast. Be sure to check out all of our wonderful written content we have coming out at ftnfantasy.com all the time. But until next time, my name is Herms, his name is Tyler Rowe, and we are saying goodbye. Think of better before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late, you ever want